Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
What the f- is happening right now?
Hold on.
Bria, can I? I'm going to say one thing. I love you. Let me just.
And I love you too.
This
is not mutually exclusive to that.
If you want me to leave, Preston, I'll leave.
No, you're not leaving, Bria. We still eating.
That can't be to me because you don't wash your mind if it is.
You're
that
saying, oh my God,
look at
you
me.
Want me to leave?
I'm
I'll
tired
leave.
Of if, everything okay. being an argument. Right.
If you want me to leave,
so
I'll leave.
So don't talk to me when
you
I
want
to
leave. You want to leave, I'll leave.
I was not talking to you.
Is that what you want? Is that what
you
want?
You ready to cry now?
Welcome back, you guys, to another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry, our pop culture roundup. And I feel like I sound different. Like my voice sounds different and it's like tripping me out as I speak, but we're going to move on. Pop culture roundup. And what are we talking this week? Summer House Martha's Vineyard is officially back. I'm so excited. It just premiered last night. I've been waiting for you guys to watch this premiere. It's so good, so I can't wait to talk about it with you guys later, but we have a good bit of stuff to talk about before we get into that, so we're going to get into it. We're going to start with our girl of the week, and that's going to none other than Instagram / Meta, whoever you are. You know what? I'm a little TO'd right now, because on Friday, I was doing as I usually do is bringing the news to the people, posting the trailer for The Real Housewives of Potomac as I would normally do and as dozens of other Bravo reality TV Instagram accounts did that day. And yet, an hour later, I'm finding out that it's been removed. Okay, fair enough. Weird. I've had things removed before. And I just keep it pushing, right? Oh, but then I'm like, why can't I access my shit? Oh, my account's suspended. This was like, March 22nd until March 25th. So, if anybody at Instagram or Meta is listening right now, can you just, like, scoot me a little message? Because, like, I'm annoyed. And you know what? I'm also annoyed because you're trying to keep an entrepreneur down. Okay, because the Can I Get a Hell Yeah of the Week was going to go to me for finally dropping this effing merch. Finally. And I'm still going to. And it will be out officially on Wednesday. unless you're a Patreon subscriber, in which case at some point before Wednesday, I'm going to drop the link to y'all and you'll get early access. I'm very excited. We're just going to talk about the merch real quick, right? Just a couple of catchphrases. Thank you for listening. Thank me for speaking design. Can I get a hell yeah? I came to my designer, my friend Randy, how many months ago in October? And I was like, you know what? I've been manifesting. I've been thinking in my mind is a black cowgirl. Like you see these sort of like pinup style cowgirls and tattoos and other styles of art. And you very rarely, never really have I seen a black one, a black beauty, if you will. So I was like, damn, can you make a bitch a bad bitch, but like a black cowgirl bitch? And he was like, yes, absolutely I can. So then I'm watching the fucking Super Bowl and my president, my queen, is like, drop the music. Okay. And then I'm like, this ain't Texas, ain't no hold'em. I can't even believe we were on the same level. Cowboy Kara and Cowboy Carter. We see each other. I'm so excited about this design. She's so cute. I love her. And a couple of other designs. Part of the reason why there's been a delay is because I have a really good design that I can no longer put out. It is Sisterwise related, and we'll just leave it at that. Okay, so that... with that came a lot of like restructuring and coming up with new designs, and I'm not done. Like, this is not it. I've been really passionate, you know, because I'm like, Sheree, I'm a designer, and I really wanted to come up with stuff that was like actually stuff that I would wear. It actually was like cute, and I tried to keep the prices as low as I possibly could. Okay, so I'm really not scared of you guys. I'm really not going to be making a whole lot of money off of this. So rest and believe, most of this is going towards like production. Woo! I did not know how much this costs, but there we go. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoy it. And there's tote bags, there's t-shirts, sweatshirts, coffee mugs, all the cute things. I'm very, very excited for you guys to see it. So the best place for you to find out when this shit is actually dropping is to go to my Instagram at instagram.com/, well, hopefully I'm not suspended on Wednesday. So you can find me at Everyone's Business But Mine, probably, on Instagram. And if not, you can just go to any episode description ever, just any single one. I put a link to all of my socials, all of my... the Patreon, etc. It's got all the links. And in there, I will be including a merch link. So you can check there. You can check Instagram. And am I done? That felt good. I'm really excited about this, guys. All right, let's move on to, let's gossip, shall we? I'm like really annoyed about that Instagram thing. Like, I'm like, is this how Todd and Julie Chrisley feel? I don't deserve that. Anyway, okay, so let's move on to our headline of the week. As you guys know, this is a recent segment that I have drummed up in this strange head of mine, where I just like happen to come across a headline that I'm like, what? And it gives me a giggle, and I'm like, I have to share it with you because we deserve all the giggles that we can, okay? Collect them, gotta catch them all in this day and age, right? So this is like, we're going to giggle, but then we're going to talk about something a little bit more serious, okay? This is going to be a very special segment of Headline of the Week. The Headline of the Week, this was before, I should stress this, was before Kate Middleton announced her health status. I was laughing because I'm like, out of all the people, this makes all the sense in the world to me, but imagine not being one of us. And reading this, Meghan King hired a psychic to try to solve the Kate Middleton mystery. I'm like, girl, one thing about Meghan King, O'Toole Edmonds, Biden Edmonds, is she's going to be up in the mix. Like, she's like Bethany Frankel's tether. Whereas, like, I don't want to hear anything that skinny girl gremlin has to say. I really also don't want to hear what Megyn King Edmonds says, but it always makes me laugh. how are we here on this earth together? You know, like, it just, Megyn, she's really lived a life. You know, like, I feel like she's maybe a little bit younger than me. We're definitely around the same age, but it just feels like she's lived 50 lives, just doing a lot. She's just very busy, but also has all the time in the world, you know what I mean? So her psychic, I mean, you guys, like, get real, right? Her psychic said, actually fairly accurately, that likely what happened is that when Kate went in for her surgery in January, they found something worse, and she's been dealing with that. Turns out, that is pretty much exactly what happened. So, Kate took two, well, I saw it on Instagram, and other social media. There was, like, a whole countdown. Like, there's, like, a royal, I don't know what they call it, like a blackout, like a media blackout, right? That was going to end at 2 p.m. Eastern. And that was when we were going to find out. So that's a little bit strange, right? So, you know, she's sitting there in a striped sweater by herself on the bench outside and saying that basically, yeah, she went in for that abdominal surgery that she had planned and scheduled. And when they went in, they found cancer. And she's going to be going through chemotherapy. She spoke about, you know, wanting to break the news to her children. And I think that was, you know, a little like middle finger or whatever they do in England to us for all the speculation and that more. But I've really been thinking about this, and I don't want to I always want to be accountable, you know, and things of that nature. But I've been reading about things and really thinking about it separately. And I'm feeling personally, do I feel bad for engaging in the discourse, etc.? And I say, personally, I do not. You might be girl, and I hear you. You might bristle at that, and that's fair, but just hear me out, okay? I feel like a lot of the missteps that have happened within the royal family, the comms team, whoever's been navigating the situation since whispers started beginning, have really kind of fanned the flames of the rumor mill, etc. Now, listen, I feel like everybody who was oh, she got a BBL, it's you don't have to feel bad about that, because let's be real. I don't even know if she's allowed to get a BBL, you know, so to me, anybody who made that joke, 99.9% of them, I'm assuming, are not so stupid to think that would ever be in the realm of possibility, and that clearly something more serious was going on. But ultimately I was thinking, I think this might be a bigger lesson in the fact that the institution, the royal family, will throw you under the bus, especially if you're a woman, especially if you're a woman that was not born into this family. I feel I don't know. I just feel there were so many missteps that didn't need to happen, seemed very odd, very much they knew. Certainly those people knew, somebody knew what was going on behind the scenes, right? And so to have that, you know what I mean? And all the things that have happened with the Photoshop and allowing certain things to not be shut down. You know, Rose Hanbury, who I spoke about last week, there was a whole piece about her. And one of the main things that I thought was interesting about this is that the affair rumors that were happening between Rose and Kate and William have been happening since 2019. We're 5 years now. Something that really has been spoken about more so in America and not at all in the UK until last week, you know? So, the fact that that was allowed to be coming out. Like, who is this woman? I don't know. I just, knowing how the human centipede like relationship works between the royal family and the media there in a way that I can't really explain. I mean, if you want to know, I think it's in like the first, you could probably find a clip of like Prince Harry explaining the media and the Royal Rota, R-O-T-A. He explains it obviously way better than I can, but it's just like very weird, strange stuff. But to me, I'm just thinking like a couple people had to have known what was going on with her, right? Like, she is the future queen. They have to know that. Like, people have to know that. They have to be privy to that. Because that's just, like, the way their life works, you know? And so to allow this many foibles and fumbles to happen, and I think, like, I wonder, especially because the king is sick, like, were they allowing this to happen because of that? Like I said last week, like, was there something going on where maybe Kate is falling on the sword, so to speak, due to the perhaps worsening health condition of Charles? And I think that's still within the realm of possibility. It obviously, like, I feel very sad for her on a health and physical level. She's got 3 kids. Right? I always think they have 4. She's got kids and she's married and she's got a lot going on, I guess. And, you know, I definitely feel for her, and I definitely feel like she probably, you know, part of this situation is that you don't really get to speak up for yourself and you have to wait and there are protocols and all this shit, like, where, you know, she's probably been wanting to run out of Kensington Palace and be like, listen, fuck you guys, you know, but she can't do that. And that's, like, very annoying. And you could tell in her video that she was, like, frustrated, you know, and I get that for sure, you know, like, regardless, much less given all the health situation that's going on with her right now. Like, I get it. So, you know, I say all this to say, you know, we wish her the best of luck. That's tough. You know, it's, I can't imagine, like, truly, the idea of dealing with one thing and then being like, oh, girl, are you up from anesthesia? We got something to tell you. You know, like, and it's not good. Like, that fucking sucks, truly. And so, you know, fuck cancer. And, yeah, we're gonna move on. Moving on to some very unfortunate news. Well, it's happened. Oops, they did it again. Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan have broken up. Oh, no. Why? Why? No, we have to remember this is not 6 weeks past them unfollowing each other on Instagram, and Larsa, 49-year-old Larsa, taking to Instagram stories to say, how would you feel if your friends still followed your ex? Would you be okay with that or no? Yes or no? You have 24 hours to respond. And then we were like, wow, Larsa, is something going on with you and Marcus? And then they were like, maybe. But then 2 hours later, they're shopping for flowers on Valentine's Day. And she's making him do paparazzi walks outside of some restaurant in Miami while she wears a white dress and a big ass ring on her engagement finger. So, you know, wouldn't you know, those two crazy kids managed to get it back together just in time for the Traitors reunion to sit and lie to, excuse me, tell Andy Cohen that, you know, they had a little hiccup in the road, but they're back on cruise control. And then 2 weeks exactly after the Traitors reunion was released, suddenly it came out that they had broken up like 2 weeks ago. So, oh, wow. That's so interesting. Also interesting that I came across a video that said that there was a blind item alleging that there was a son of a sportsman, a legendary sportsman, who was basically sticking around until a show ended to officially announce that he had broken up with, you know, a wife of a legendary and famous sportsman. So interesting how that came out. Well, I have to say that I am very disappointed about this news. I thought that love would win, finally, and that these two crazy kids, one 33 and the other damn near 50, were gonna make it and take it to the end. But that didn't happen, and I'm really thrown for a loop here. I can't believe it. Those two especially, like, I really was rooting for them. We were all rooting for them, and, well, this is, what, the end of March, or cruising right into summer, so I think she and Kiki are gonna have a hot girl summer. I can't wait for it, personally. I do feel like this is going to somehow, some way, cause drama between her and Lisa, and I can't wait for that. Something to do with Jody, I'm just predicting it right now. And, yeah, wow, I just really got hit with the memory of Larsa accusing, question mark, Julia of having a, propensity or preference or a lust for Black Dick at the reunion. I really should have recapped that. I regret that. I regret not doing that. This is maybe, like, great news for me, also terrible news for humanity, also great news for Bravo, but again, terrible news for the world at large. So I personally, I'm stuttering, I'm so excited. I can't wait, because which rapper is she going to try to fuck now? We can't do Future again. You know, Future doesn't really have the cachet that he did the first time she, you know, ruined her relationship with Scotty for him. So, like, who would we find now? Who do we think Lars is going to hop on over to this time? We think we're going to go with, like, an actual athlete? Do we think that I think she's going to go rapper. Something tells me rapper. And you know what? If I could manifest anything, it would be a love triangle between Larsa, Mia Thornton of Real Housewives of Potomac, and any rapper at all. I don't care. YBN, YFN, YRN, GTA. I don't care what acronyms come before or after some stupid fucking name. I don't care if his songs never are longer than a minute and 58 seconds. Perfect for TikTok. And, you know, I would prefer, like, if he could be at least 25. At least. And I know that does, you know, shorten the list up quite a bit. But you can make it work, Larsa. If anybody can, it's you. Godspeed. Ooh, if I could really get something popping, Lil Uzi Vert would leave JT of the City Girls, because we got a Miami connection right there. He looks over at Larsa at, like, Formula One weekend, and she looks down at him and is, you know, tiny little body, and she's like, hey, and she knows that he's a rapper because he's got something stupid in the middle of his face, and she doesn't know, you know? She doesn't know. This could be, like, very similar to Khloe Kardashian's era with French Montana. I would like to see that. Just, like, real two dummies. Okay, I'm stalling because I don't want to talk about this. LaDom's down real bad. And I'm not, like, I'm mad. I am mad at Karen Huger right now. Like, and I didn't think that we would be here, but I'm genuinely upset with her. I'm genuinely upset. And as more of the story just unfolds, the more I'm like, girl, what were you thinking? To quote Whoopi Goldberg in Ghost, you in danger, girl. To quote Ariana Maddox in last week's episode of Vanderpump Rules a few times, you in danger, girl. What's going on here? So, on Wednesday, came out at 11:50 p.m. Tuesday night, March 19th, Montgomery County Police, the 2nd District officers and fire rescue responded to the location of Oakland Drive and Beeman Woods Way in Potomac for a single vehicle collision involving a 2017 Maserati. The driver, Karen Huger, was taken into custody and transported to the 2nd District station in Bethesda, where she was arrested and cited for driving under the influence, and she was then refused. And they also confirmed in that statement that she refused a breathalyzer. So, Karen was charged with one count of DUI and hit with several infractions for an alleged negligence and reckless driving. She did issue a statement to TMZ. We'll talk about that in a second. But at first, the news, like, this news kind of unfolded in waves. Like, at first we're finding out there was an accident. And then we're finding out she got a DUI. And then we're finding out that, okay, like, so let's go to here. A representative for the Montgomery County Police told TMZ that she was driving the Maserati late Tuesday night in what they describe as an aggressive manner, too fast for the conditions, according to the police. They say that Karen struck a median and a crosswalk sign at an intersection before continuing on and then colliding with a parking sign off the roadway, where the car then came to a rest. Airbags were deployed and the car was deemed inoperable. They had to tow it away. You can see pictures on the crash of the crash site with the tree online. Like, this woman really could have killed herself. She could have died. I'm so mad at her, like, for real. So Karen decides at this point, after all this information comes out, to go to TMZ to issue a statement on the whole situation. She says, "Thank you for all your prayers and well wishes during this very frightening experience. I'm still in shock from last night's incident, but grateful to be alive today. With the passing of my beloved mother, grief comes and goes in waves, and with Mother's Day approaching, it has felt more like a tsunami. Last night I met a girlfriend for dinner. We talked and brought up some very emotionally sensitive topics. I was crying on my way home and saw a car heading right for me. I swerved to avoid the head-on collision, hit the divider, and then a tree. I'm hurt, bruised up a bit, but I'm so grateful I'm alive. I did receive citations, one of which was unrelated to the incident, which is understandable, but what's most surprising is that the car that almost hit me just drove away." Then she says, "I would like to stress it's important to understand your emotional state when driving, and may this be a reminder to all of us to use our seatbelts. My mother may be my guardian angel, but the seatbelt saved my life." Now, why she would give this statement to TMZ, knowing that they're TMZ and that they were absolutely going to find out every lick of information that they could from this, is beyond me, because this is weird. I think we should also, like, put it out there, you know, Mother's Day is in, like 6-7 weeks. So we got a good bit of time. And also, God help her. God, may she rest. But, you know.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Karen's mother died several years ago at this point, like several. And I just feel like that's worth pointing out, you know? Yeah. As somebody who's got a parent who's passed away. You know, like my dad died in 2011. I just, you know, 2014, certainly still very sad situation. Could I really point to it as being like top of mind? Like, I don't know. So according to the police report that TMZ found, the emergency personnel, like this is really bad, they had to secure the vehicle and had to assist Karen out of the car. There was a small fire going on in the car. They had to put that out. Karen was allegedly swaying and had a strong odor of alcohol on her breath. Officers noticed that Karen also had slurred speech and bloodshot eyes when they arrived on the scene. She didn't answer when cops asked her twice how much she had to drink. They found closed bottles of Stella, the beer, Stella Artois, inside her vehicle. This is like, she's been ordering Stellas all season, so that's wild. She declined to undergo a field sobriety test or a breathalyzer. Her license was automatically suspended because of this. She also refused to be put on a stretcher or have any medical care, and also asked when they, I don't know if she realized they had a body cam or they told her that she didn't want to be recorded on said body cam. So she, like I said, was ultimately arrested for DUI. They drove her to the police station where she was issued with citations. She was not I guess you book people doesn't necessarily mean that they're like clankety clank, right? To use her phrase. She was not ever in a jail cell is what my understanding. She was released to Ray. So this is like so crazy. The thing that's sticking to me is the bottles of Stella, because I'm like 90% sure that you have to use a bottle opener to open a bottle of Stella. But even if you don't, you would still have to twist it off. And that's crazy. Like, I've heard of people having a lot of shit in their car, alcohol, but like glass bottles of Stella is a first for me. That's really wild. Now, this made me remember that there had been like a lot of talking around Karen's drinking, the fact that she doesn't drive. I think she said recently, this season or last season, that she doesn't really drive, that Ray drives her around everywhere. That in 2006, I believe, I think in 2016, she did an interview where she had admitted in 2006 that she had gotten a DUI. So this is not her first time at the rodeo. And I'm stumped. She's really got me stumped. I just like, she's so old, you know, like she's too old to be doing this, you know, like for a lot of reasons. Like, I mean, let's just call a thing a thing. Like at some point you're too old to be doing stuff, and getting a DUI at triple 20 is wild, dude. Like that's wild. You should have been grown up, you know? That's so wild. The Stella, the fact that, like I said, like, basically all the cast members have said, like, she's one to drunk dial people, that she gets sloppy, that she will, you know, take her eye candy to maybe hand candy or mouth candy when she's feeling a little loose, so I don't know. Like, this sounds like troubling for a lot of reasons. Like, even just on a surface level, just as it is, it's troubling. But when you think about the other things, it's like, this is very concerning, very concerning. So I say all that to say, obviously, hope Karen gets a reality check and a wake up call from this. She, on a petty note, is like very lucky that they already filmed this reunion, so she wouldn't have to talk about this. You got a couple months to figure out how you're going to address this, Karen. And I'm disappointed. I'm a disappointed LaDom. So she's really got some splaining to do. You guys, did you guys hear about what happened with Christine Quinn from Selling Sunset? Girl, this is like real bad. real bad girl. So they were saying that the cops had been called to her house twice, 2 days in a row, because the first day, allegedly, her husband, Christian, and this is so crazy. I was thinking, truly, like, even earlier that day or, like, the day before, I wonder if Christine Quinn is with that man still. And then I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, girl. So apparently what happened was they got into it. I don't know what the reason was, what the catalyst, but things escalated to the physical when Christian had a bag of glass, broken glass or something. I don't know how or why, but allegedly he threw it at Christine. It missed her and hit their 2-year-old son. So I believe the child got some medical care. I just have like a lot of questions. The pictures of this man getting arrested, looking like Tobias Fünke from Arrested Development, giving never nude realness. He's in a robe. He's bald. The glasses. He's got flip-flops on, sandals on. Like, what the hell was going on there? I don't need to know, but like, what the hell? I mean, girl, I hope you're safe. And then I guess they had to come back and arrest him again because obviously, like, restraining order, bitch. And he came back to the house, and so he got clankety clank again. So I wish the best for her. I really do. I really do. That relationship always, like, I don't know, girl. I mean, that wedding ate down. That black dress and the fake snow ate. Okay, but that's neither here nor there. I wish her the best. I really do. That's weird. That's weird, weird behavior. And I really do wish her the best. And our second girl of the week. Let's just end because, you know, like I like to end on a high note. And by that, I mean, you know, messy. John Jansen. John Jansen, girl. 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 John Jansen, if you guys don't know, former boyfriend of Shannon Medore of Real Housewives of Orange County. Current boyfriend of Alexis Jesus Jugs Bellino. Formerly of Real Housewives of Orange County, but also currently of Real Housewives. She got the orange back. Oh, Lord. They're so performative and weird. But anyway, John decided to tell People that he, People Magazine, not People in general, that he had filed a lawsuit in Orange County Superior Court against Shannon for breach of an oral contract and promissory fraud. Fraud. To get $75,000 back that allegedly he gave her for a facelift. Sir. So, in the complaint, John Jansen says that Shannon turned to him for financial support in early 2022, first borrowing $40,000 via wire transfer on January 23rd, 2022 for a facelift procedure. And then on May 20th of 2023, he gave her another $35,000 via a personal check. In both instances, John Jansen claims that Shannon agreed to pay this back with interest. But despite him requesting over and over again last year and this year, Shannon's not giving up the goods. So this, like, time out right here. You are a messy bitch, John Jansen. The fact that this man he's so nasty. This is like nasty work. The way he's been treating her, the way we've been told how this relationship laid out between Shannon and John was just like, ew, ew. The rumors, I think she may even confirm this, that she had been giving him money, which is like, and had basically been bankrolling his lifestyle the entirety or the majority of their relationship. So kind of begs the question of, well, I guess maybe he did have $75,000 short up. But like, also, how embarrassing is it that you would have to pay your boyfriend back with interest? You charge your girlfriend back with interest? Ew. Right? Like, ew? Right? Like, that just feels very disrespectful. I don't know. Something about that gives me the ick real bad. And the fact that he would, do you think People Magazine is, hanging out at the Orange County Superior Court hoping that somebody filed something interesting that they might know of? No. I think John intentionally puts this out to embarrass Shannon. It seems like every part of their relationship was John intentionally wanting to embarrass her, not wanting to be on TV, but yet obviously he loves the attention. Clearly he does. Getting into this performative ass relationship with Alexis, and the fact that she's not catching on, it's girl, I really hope you're having fun and you're just not letting us know that you're winking behind his back. If it's not that and you really think you're in love with him, please. Please. But it's just weird to me. You can say what you want about Shannon. You can have your feelings about her. I'm an ironic ride or die for Shannon. I do famously say that she has Jan Brady behavior. And so this, an ex-boyfriend going out to People Magazine intentionally to one, out the fact that she had a facelift. I don't know if she talked about that publicly. And two, be she offered to pay me back with interest. And also, how much, what was the percentage? Also, that you would be go so far as to put this out is so ew. So Shannon had to go and waste her time to send a statement to People in response to the lawsuit and say, "I am shocked and disappointed that John has filed a lawsuit. My attorney has been in constant communication with his counsel. I agreed to pay John what he wanted because I knew that attorney's fees would surpass the amount sought, but more importantly, to eliminate the negative emotional components that came with a lawsuit. It's important that I continue to focus on the positive aspects of my life and move forward. John declined the offer because he refused to sign a mutual non-disparagement agreement. I was hoping that if I met his baseless demand, we could at least use this as an opportunity to complete closure to this chapter in my life." She also says that according to John's attorneys, that the money was a gift and that he says otherwise. So they went on to say, "Ms. Bedore's defense that Mr. Jansen paid her the $75,000 as a quote-unquote gift is completely meritless, which their emails and text messages will show. Mr. Jansen is saddened that Ms. Bedore's unwillingness to repay the loans made it necessary to file this lawsuit." Well, I think you sound like a desperate loser, John Jansen, so how about that? Can we file that under penalty of perjury? I think you're a bitch. How about that? And how about that? And I think there's all the merit in the world to that. This is weird. This is weird. Orange County is a funny little place, isn't it? Compared up to the normal ones, because there's got to be a bunch of you. And I'm sorry that you guys have to deal with this. I really am. Ooh, next season of Orange County is going to be a good one. Is that naughty of me to say? It is. Okay, let's move on to our recap of season 2, premiere of Summer House, Martha's Vineyard.
Wait, we didn't finish. You said you didn't know I was in New York, but we had a FaceTime that morning.
She just wanted to know why you didn't invite her to the
That part.
I didn't.
Because your reasoning was, I didn't know you were in New York. But that's a lie because you saw me in Jordan's apartment that morning. You're not being very honest, and that's the issue.
Can you then tell him what the answer you want is? Because he's telling you his truth, and you're not accepting it.
Are you just going to believe what I'm saying?
I feel he's lying.
So how are y'all going to move forward?
Because how can you be in a Zoom call with people, but I don't see who I'm on a call with? That doesn't make sense. Just say you didn't want us to go. You didn't invite the person who does live in New York. You didn't invite the person you've been inside of. That's the problem.
Yay. We're back in Martha's Vineyard. I'm so excited. What a great premiere. It had everything. It has everything that you're looking for in a season 2 that you know is going to be good. There are divisions amongst the friends. There are new relationships. There are relationships that have ended. There are new developments. There are, like, you know, people who got a little bit more bass in their chest. Maybe we got a little bit more money in the bank now. Maybe we're liking the cameras. Maybe we're not. I'm loving it. Congratulations in advance. Let's get into the premiere of season 2 of Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. This, I will say, my first complaint is that when I say the title of the show, it is a struggle to get me to say it correctly every time. I'm like fighting tooth and nail and barely am I getting it out. But anyway, so we start with this episode finding out that Jasmine and Jordan have barely spoken since we saw them last season. But Jordan basically got chose over Jasmine. So Jasmine's been on the outs to some degree, varying degrees, with everybody in the group. Well, everybody in the Playboy Bunny group, really, and Preston. The Playboys and Preston. Nick is still with that girlfriend that he was hiding until, like, the last episode of last season. Amir has a new girlfriend out in Austin. He lives there. Summer and Alex have hooked up. And Jasmine's peanut head husband has shipped off to Army. So we have a lot of development, just like bam, 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 right off the bat. We get new opening credits, bold colors, a theme song. I honestly think the key to a very good non-Housewives Bravo show is a good theme song. Like, remember how we used to Baba fucking do over in Southern Charm? The original Summer House thing, we got to bring that back. The opening credits, Shaw's Sunset. One of the douchiest things, words that have ever been put in like succession, the Shaw's of Sunset, and it was great, you know. And so, you know what, I think the other thing is, like, you have to have a song or a theme that you can barely understand the words to, you know, like Baba Do was the best thing we got. Like, how do you describe the original Summer House other than living the fast life from sunset to sunrise? And then you're like, and then she says some other things, but you're really bopping with it, you know what? And so this is what we got here, and I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I think we might be in like a little bit of a refresh, a little bit. I think we're going to get a second wind. This is my prediction of Bravo. We're going to get a second wind of shows having like the original flavor that we used to have, and I'm excited about it. Excited. So anyway, we're all flying into Martha, right? From DC, Austin, Florida, New York. As he deserves, Milo gets first pause in the house, okay? The new house, huge. It is bad and bougie. And of course, Bria, who's, you know, accompanied by Milo, or Milo's accompanied by Bria. It's hard to tell at some point which one of you is a star. But they're walking around the house, tipping, and Bria's like, oh, well, I'm taking the baddest and bougiest with the balcony bedroom that we got in here. And you know what? I would have done the same. That little, I mean, it wasn't even a balcony. It was like a whole seating area. Like, that's nice. That's nice. Especially for somebody who tends to hang out in the bed a lot. And I'm referring to both myself and Bria at this point. And Milo, you know? So anyway, then we get Jasmine and Silas, but then they cross out Silas's name, and honestly, like, I did enjoy that graphic more than I should have. But anyway, Jasmine and Bria started clicking again off camera. Simon had a birthday party that she showed up to, so now they're on good terms. But the interesting thing is that Bria describes this as like, oh, I saw the old Jasmine come back, and that's what was clicking for me, right? But then she tells, like, we're talking, the girls are coming in. Jordan, Bria and Jasmine are on good terms. Jordan, not so much. So she tells Jordan, Jordan tells Summer, because they're riding to the house together, that she's not upset with Jasmine, but she thought she was being real inauthentic last summer and trying to push people together, and it just made her feel crazy. And made her feel like, well, maybe I'm not as good of friends with Jasmine as I thought, right? So then Jordan says in a confessional, just felt like Jasmine felt like she had to put on this act of being the perfect wife instead of being the lighthearted person that I knew. So it kind of sounds like Jordan's coming from a place of like, Jasmine hasn't reached out to me. Like, Jasmine's like, I don't know what's going on. Everybody's hanging out without me. But Jordan's like, well, she hasn't called me either. Like, phone works both ways, right? So I'm not sure what her issue is with me. Meanwhile, Jasmine says in a confessional that she and Silas had a pretty hard year. Like, girl, we know. We saw it. But now he's going to be deployed in Eastern Europe for 10 months. So they just hit their year anniversary. And she's like, you know, I now more than ever think I need my friends because I need that support. Jordan and Summer pull up. This was like, black people. I love us, okay? Because they all meet up at the door. And even though there's this beef, like there's this underlying tension between really all of them, but mostly Jordan and Jasmine, they all get up to the, they see each other that they just got bundles. All of them got their weaves. They all got 30 inches. And they just like swing their weave around in celebration of like, we're here and we're sewn in. Now, girls, I'm not going to come for you because I know that y'all are going to get it from so many other people in your mentions. I saw it already on the timeline about why none of y'all got a braid. None of y'all got like a true protective style for 2 weeks in Martha's Vineyard. And I just, it's just interesting. I'm not mad. Other people were. I just find it very fascinating that there's like hella girls and none of y'all got vacation braids. Not one. Not one of y'all got a vacation braid, white nail polish, fancy sandal trifecta. Not one. That's very interesting. Anyway, after they start swinging weaves, they decide to go look at the rooms, right? Bria got her own room. So Jordan and Summer decide to share, I think, the primary bedroom. It was just one bed. So they decide to share, split that together, right? Jasmine says since last summer, Jordan and Summer have gotten real close, like close away from her. Summer invited to the house this season a girl named Noelle, who she says is like vibrant, funny, lively, just like Shanice and Bria. Like they like to have fun. They're throwing that ass back. Like she's going to fit in very well, but she's also a bit of a talker. So they take a tour of the house. After they have all figured out where they're going to sleep, they're like, oh, well, let's go around and see what else is there, right? So they go downstairs, and it's like a whole finished basement, but it is kitted out for children. It is, like, fancy. Like, two-story built-into-the-wall bunk bed situation. It seems like they're all full-size beds, but maybe even a queen. I don't know. But it's, there's, like, stairs in the middle of the two sets of beds to go up to. Like, it's very bougie, but like these are grown-ass men that are going to be sleeping there, and Nick, and so, you know, that's unfortunate. There's also like a nanny's bed off to the corner. So they're like, well, sucks to be them. For whatever reason, when Shanice arrives, she screams. She's in her panties within 12 seconds talking about like, duh, we're ready to get drunk. And I'm like, we're back, baby. Also, Shanice is going to be there full-time this year. If y'all don't remember Shanice, Shanice was our little chaos monster, our little Tasmanian devil, and I say that lovingly. She titties out on the balcony last season, drunk, just having a great time. So, like, the fact that she's going to be there full all 2 weeks, I'm like, yes, I'm so excited. So the girls are like, you know, excited. They're making drinks. They're making up a menu for tonight. And Alex, we know, doesn't drink. Our Brooklyn poet, Alex. And they're like, okay, well, what are we going to do? Like, we're all taking tequila shots. What are we going to do for Alex? They're like, oh, just get a water, right? And Jasmine says to the girls, oh, by the way, Alex converted me. And now I'm kind of living that mocktail life. And the girls are like, okay. That's cool. Interesting. I'm just not going to address that you're looking like a little thicker in the middle, but okay. Congratulations, by the way. In real time, Jasmine just had her baby, but we're not there yet in the show. Okay? We're not there yet. So at first, Nick and Amir are riding together to the house, and I'm like, why is Nick asking Amir about whether or not he's going to try to go for Jordan again when this man has basically been had a girlfriend since last season ended? He's had a girlfriend for like a year at this point. I'm like, why are you asking him if he's going to go for Jordan again? Clearly, no. But Amir is very interesting, and you got to listen to him very closely because you know, he's got that smile. He's very cute. Like, the way he says things, you're like, okay. But there's trickery happening here. Trickery. And I think it's mostly harmless, whereas I think there's another person in the house that I'm really going to dig into later. But you do have to listen to what Amir's really saying. So Nick says, I'm not going to go for her like I did last season. So Amir says to Nick, no, I'm probably not going to be doing that handsiness that I was doing last summer. And when Nick goes, you can't, you know, subtext being, you have a girlfriend. Amir goes, no, definitely not. We went from, I'm probably not going to, oh, no, yeah, definitely not. Because I'm going to wake up to a knife to the throat by my girlfriend, Natalie. So Nick says, do you know who Lorena Bobbitt is? And Amir looks at him and goes, no, should I educate myself? And Nick goes, yeah, I think you should. He goes, okay, I'll get into that later. So Alex arrives. And by the way, this man wants to be a player so bad. It's so funny to me because, sir, why are you sitting in this confessional in a velvet paisley button-down shirt? Like, whose estate sale did you get this from? It's not Prince. It's got to be one of the Commodores. It's got to be. The Shy Lights? Who is it? Was it Lionel? Alex, was it Lionel? Let me know. Also, when he was driving to the house, he was driving by himself, but he calls Preston, and Preston makes a comment about him being tipsy, and Alex is like, oh, why don't you have some Adam's ale? Which, I like, Adam from the Bible? Water? Cornbag. So anyway, speaking of drinks, one of the girls asks, like, oh, like I said, what should we make for Alex? What should we make him for dinner tonight? Since we're all going to have, like, lobster fest, right? And Shanice goes, you should make him nothing. So he walks in the house, and they're all like, oh, who is it? Is it Preston? Is it Preston? So Shanice goes to the door and is like, oh, it's Alex. And then she, like, U-turns and is like, never mind. Like, girl, what's going on? Summer says in a confessional that she and Alex met last year, right? We saw that. They were vibing. They were having these discussions, these deep discussions, if you want to call it that, over, like, basic meditation and getting to your self and centering or whatever. But after they left the house, they were like on a hangout schedule, you know, like if she was in New York, they would hang out. And if he was in LA, they would hang out. More on that later. Some of the girls are like good with Alex. They're like, oh, you know, he's looking good. He's looking like Rico Suave. And Summer just goes, trash. And then at one point he tries to say hi to her, but she just blanks him. So Preston arrives, everybody screams, uproarious applause, like he's fucking Cliff from Cheers or whoever they were screaming at. I don't know, I was a little young for that, but everybody's excited, myself included. So he arrives and he says in a confessional that he met Jasmine through Silas, who's his line brother, his frat brother, right? But now he's closer with Jordan out of everybody, to the point where he's calling her my wife. Alex shows him the bunk rooms. And he's like, okay, it's giving luxury prison. And Preston goes, not upgraded incarceration. So the opposite of, like, Alex's ode to the Commodores in his confessional looks is Preston. And I'm just going to need every man on Bravo, ring the alarm, okay? Because Preston was giving you looks, okay? Hats, purple colored lenses in his glasses, bold prints and colors. I've never seen this shit. I was like, wow, not a button down? This is new and inventive. So I'm going to need y'all to step y'all's pussies up metaphorically because he was eating every one of y'all up in all of his looks this week. A producer asked Preston in a confessional, are you more of a top bunk or a bottom bunk? And he says, I'm more of a side bunk. You know, the girls that know, know. Speaking of the girls that know, they do show Preston, the girls show Preston that there's an empty single room, so he doesn't have to, you know, share the bed with the other guys and play Willy Wonka and touch toes with them. So he's like running to move his shit in there. They all start cackling. So everybody goes back to the kitchen for drinks, and Preston makes a comment about them. It's like, oh, like Jamaica part 17. Oh, we're back to Jamaica vibes, right? And it's immediately awkward because Summer tells us in a confessional, she, Jordan, Preston, and Shanice all went on a trip together to Jamaica, and some people in the house might feel some type of way about that. Cut to Preston saying, Jasmine was not invited. And Jordan says, sometimes you can't invite everybody, right? So Amir, back to Amir, he's saying, you know, at this point in time, he's not pursuing anybody in the house because if he does, his girlfriend Natalie of almost a year would cut his dick off, hang him by his toes, parade it around, parade the dick, not the toes, around the house and tell everybody what happened if they would try to come for her man again. But at that point, I just feel like, I mean, like, if we wanted to get technical, probably nobody would be interested in you anymore because your dick got cut off. And also, I feel like Natalie would be in prison. I don't, you know, it just seems, it's giving. Anyway, Nick says, like, I want to get to my room. I want to take a shot, then start on dinner. And the girls are like, maybe you should take the shot first before you look at your rooms. So they're like, okay. They take the shot. They're like, okay, let's look at the rooms. And they're like, okay, well, it's more like a room. Just a room. Why don't you go downstairs, Nick and Amir? Just check it out. So they show them the basement. And Amir looks at the wall of bunk beds and he goes, shut up. But then in a confessional, he goes, actually, I like this. This looks like a lot of fun. But, you know, he's got the PTSD from Silas making Jasmine do those performative moanings all summer last time. So he's like, I just don't want to have to go through that. I don't want to deal with anybody going bump in the night this summer. So after that, in walks our new girl, Noelle, clearly an AKA. We don't have to get into why I knew that, but it was giving. She's Summer's friend, right? I'm confused as to why she gets a room all to herself with two beds, particularly if Summer's your homegirl who brought you into the house, why is Summer sharing a bed in the primary with Jordan and not sharing this other bed in the room with Noelle? Doesn't really make sense, but okay. And the guys are also like, this, you're new and you get two beds in a room all to yourself. Logistically, it's not giving, but they were like, well, listen, she's a girl. She's not going to share a room with any of you guys. So sorry. So Noelle's also like if they were to do, you know, like we have Sex in the City, but then they had that spinoff of pre-Sex in the City Carrie, like a young Carrie called the Carrie Diaries on the CW. If they had a Carrie Diaries show on Giselle Bryant's life, I think she would be a good fit. Like, she's an AKA. She's young and fresh. She's from the South. She hasn't been ruined by, you know, a pastor holy whore yet. Like, things are just looking good for her. Not the Giselle Bryant of today. I'm saying like a bright-eyed and bushy-tailed pre-pastor holy whore. What I imagine Giselle was like before she met Jamal. That's what I'm saying. She really won me over. At first, you know, I do think that sometimes people will go like one of two ways when they're on a show. They'll either be like a little bit too reserved or they'll be like a little too boisterous or whatever. And she's very bubbly, but she really won me over. She's like getting settled in the room and she's standing in between the two beds and she's like, I don't know what she's doing, but she falls over and she just falls over right in between the beds and she just sits there like, well, that happened. And I enjoyed her in that quiet moment. I did. So the girls start talking about Amir's girlfriend, and apparently they've all met her, but the vibe that Natalie's giving off to them is that she's very standoffish, don't mess with my man, I'm gonna be the one to bring it to ya. But they're all like, we don't want your man, girl. And if anything, he wanted Jordan. And Jordan just goes, and that's the gag. So on the way back from getting lobsters, like Preston and, I don't know, Jasmine, Bria, they're all there. So they're on the ride back and they're trying to think of like, what do they say from coming to America? Is it like great morning or something? Like, what's the expression? And then I love this break of the fourth wall moment where a producer is like, whatever you call it, whatever this is called, from the walkie-talkie and tells them, no, it's Grand Rising. That's the expression. And Preston goes, I'm not a hotep, so I don't really know what the expressions are. And I thought in that moment, have we ever heard anybody incite, and I'm going to use that term, incite the term of hotep on Bravo? I don't think so. I'm hoping this is the last time I appreciated it in the moment, but we don't have to talk about them again, you know? I'm not a hotep either, so I don't know the expressions, nor do I want to. So Bria is trying to make small talk with Jasmine. Like, how old are you? Because I think I might be older than you. I'm 27, and Jasmine goes, girl, I'm 31. So Preston makes a joke to Bria and is like, you know that 31 is over 27, right? So Bria tries to act like, oh, Preston, are you coming for me? And they have beef, but she's keeping it real cute at this point. And Preston's like, oh, is this where the drama starts? Like, they're keeping it very light. This is not, like, serious. They're like, oh, is this where the drama starts, Bria? Because we've never had an issue before. Like, keeping it real cute, right? So you think at first that this is just going to blow over. Preston then mentions in the car how, you guys, when I told you that my father passed, every single one of you reached out with a text or a call, and I really appreciate that. And then we find out that his father's funeral is the following day. But he says the reality is, even if I did go, I don't think I would be at peace. So Preston tells us in a confessional that he has like a pretty up and down, well, down relationship with his father. He had not seen his father from the time he was an adult since middle school when he went to visit him after his dad got shot. But then his dad didn't come back into his life until he was in law school. And he admits, to be honest, I was probably cruel to him because I felt like for me, he was trying to come back in my life for him, not for me. And it really felt disingenuous. And then we find out he didn't even know about his father's funeral. He didn't know. I don't think he knew his dad passed until he got a Google alert about it. And then he says, you know, a lot of family members on his dad's side were upset or feeling some type of way. They disinvited him and his sister, shut him out from planning the funeral. So in this moment, he just needs some support from his friends. So Bria and Jasmine tell him, like, we're going on the boat tomorrow. Whatever you want to do, you want to light a candle, whatever, like, we got you. So when they get back to the house, Bria decides to take over the lobster cooking. And she uses, like, you know, the decent size, what do you call those, like, boxes? What do you call those things that you put spices in? It's like a box. Is it a box? What's the technical term? I don't know. Anyway, she dumps about two of those damn boxes of Old Bay into the water. And everybody's like, that's a lot, babe. Like, I don't know if we can eat this. This is a lot. So Jasmine asked Noelle, like, do you have your eye on anybody in the house? You looking at Alex? How are you feeling about him? I mean, he's literally the only person to look at, right? And she's like, you know, yeah, I'm not really sure what's going on with him in summer, though. I don't know. Shanice says in a confessional, I think that maybe Noelle and Summer need to have a longer conversation. But then later, Summer tells Jordan, actually, I already gave Noelle the go-ahead before we even got in the house to get with Alex. Like, I don't care. I don't think that's true. But I appreciate you for saying that, because I do think this will come up later in a very dramatic fashion. And that's what we need for the show, so thank you. Everybody sits down for a themed dinner. It's lobster tails and tails. T-A-L-E-S, okay? Summer is like, Jasmine, why don't you tell your tale first? Because why are you no longer drinking? Not in an accusatory way, just like, what's good? Especially because she's been saying, like, oh, I want to turn up, turn up, turn up. I want to have drinks. Why aren't you guys inviting me to have drinks? Why are you not drinking anymore? And she's like, you know, I stopped 3 months ago. I just wanted to get clear on some things. I'm trying out a dry summer. And Bria goes, oh, I thought you were pregnant. And she goes, no, No. So then Jordan says, mentions that Alex had an event recently that not everybody got an invitation to. And he goes, oh, I didn't invite everybody? So Bria's like, oh, I got an invite. And everybody pop up like, oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. So it turns out that everybody was invited except for Jordan and Summer. Alex says in a confessional that what he's got going is that he's got this beautiful music community called Feel the Space, hosting intimate music experiences for the past 4 years, and I'm the host, but if you subscribe to the list, you get an invitation. So he's saying that they just got an email blast like everybody else. It's no big deal. Jordan asks Alex to explain, okay, well, why wasn't everybody invited? And Alex says, well, I didn't even realize Summer was in New York because she doesn't live there, right? She lives in L.A. and, like, maybe Florida. I don't know. I didn't even think she was in New York. And if I did, I would have invited her. But Summer says, I'm going to call bullshit on that because we were on a group FaceTime with you earlier that day. You saw I was in New York because I was with Jordan and I was crashing at her place. Summer says in a confessional, there were a lot of times where I would defend Alex to people like Preston or Jordan because they just didn't see the real him. So I'm actually pretty hurt by the fact that Alex invited everybody to this event except for me. So then it seems like Bria gets confused because she tries to make this point to Summer that, like, well, I wasn't invited to dinner. I wasn't invited to a group dinner. Turns out there was some steakhouse night that Jordan and Summer went to, and she's trying to explain, Jordan's trying to explain to her and Summer, the reason we went out is because Summer was crashing at Jordan's place. Jordan went out, Summer took Jordan out to dinner as a thank you for, like, letting her crash at her place, right? Very different from holding an event and excluding one person or two people in the group. And then Bria seems to get upset that she had an event that Summer didn't go to, but Summer's like, but I was in LA at the time. So it gets, like, all confusing, right? Like, who's fighting? Why is Bria upset? What's going on? What point is anybody trying to make here, right? It's just, like, kind of a whirlwind of confusion. So Preston is like, what the fuck's happening? Just kind of, like, talking to everybody and nobody at the same time. Like, what the fuck is happening right now? And so Bria goes, Preston, if you want me to leave, I'll leave. So Preston goes, I wasn't talking to you. I'm tired of everything being an argument. And Bria starts getting upset. And he goes, oh, are you going to cry now? Are you going to cry now? So Bria tells Preston, I love you. And he goes, everything's always a dramatic episode with you. Preston says in a confessional, I don't really know what's going on with Bria, but I know that I'm personally going through a lot. So it's a little frustrating that she's attempting to go off on me. But I'm a Pisces, so when you push me, you push me. You want to make a scene? I can make a movie. And I thought, I'm so happy. Because y'all know I've been complaining for years about the fact that there are, like, three Pisces on all of Bravo. The representation is low, dry, dismal, and abysmal. And finally, it's just like, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of your emotion. I'm sick of you making everything about yourself. And if you want to be dramatic, I will be dramatic. I'll be that. And I'll be the most dramatic thing of your life. And I appreciate that energy. I appreciate it. Shout out to Pisces. We finally won. So now Summer's trying to help escort Bria and Milo back into the house. But Bria's just yelling. She's got Milo tucked under her right arm, yelling at Preston. Oh, you got the attention on you. Why don't you just Twitter it so you can feel better? And he goes, I will. Oh, are you going to go in your room for 2 days again? Good night. I'm going to enjoy these crab legs, though, love. I remember in the preview for this, he said, welcome to season two. And I'm very upset that they took that out because it was funny. It was very funny. So then Bria goes inside. She calls Preston a fake ass bitch. Preston tells everybody at the table, Bria and I actually talk every day, but you know what? I'm just tired. And the truth is, when it comes to attending everybody's events, like, we don't all live in the city. We don't all live in the same city. Meanwhile, Summer's telling Bria, you know, just go back downstairs, make up with Preston. Like, y'all don't have to do this, right? Y'all like each other. We don't have to actually do this, right? So she comes back down, and immediately Preston's like, Bria says, I'm sorry. They hug. And Preston says, listen, I wasn't trying to come for you specifically. When I was saying, oh my God, I wasn't talking to you. I'm just talking in general, like, what the hell's going on here? But I do get how you interpreted that way. And then Amir gets annoyed. And he gets up and he says in the confessional that Bria is the only person in the house who gets to throw a tantrum and then come back and be like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I love you. Like, and he's annoyed with it. But the interesting thing is he says shit like that. But then he was the maybe only person to check in on Bria and make sure she was okay after the fact. Like, I just want to make sure you're not upset. It's like, okay, well, are you annoyed with her or not? Anyway, Summer still not over this lack of invitation to feel the space, his immersive musical experience in Brooklyn on a rooftop near you. Okay. So she goes, okay, Alex, your reasoning for not inviting me was that I was not in New York, but you're not being very honest, and that's the issue that I'm having. So Amir is annoyed with Summer too, and he goes, okay, can you just tell him the answer that you want? Because he's telling you his truth, but you're just not accepting it. But Summer goes, but I feel like he's lying, because how are you on a FaceTime call with people, but you didn't see me and see that I was in New York? You didn't invite the person who does live in New York, and you didn't invite the person that you've been inside of. That's a fucking problem. It's like, look around, everybody on mute. Everybody at the table's like, Nick was in the middle of toasting Noelle, and he literally just freezes. Just amid cheers freeze. Like, but the gag is, like, he knew this whole situation because he's friends with Noelle, or not Noelle, Alex and Summer. So he knew about this the whole time. Alex then goes on to say, after you've been inside of me, why didn't you invite me to your event? He goes, to be honest with you, I wasn't paying attention. But then Alex says in a confessional, that's a wild thing to say at a dinner table. I don't feel comfortable with everybody being in our business, but I'm not so much upset about it being brought up. I'm more like, what does that have to do with A, B, and C? So then Alex says, you know, basically, if we're going to call people out, and if I'm going to get called out about not inviting people places, then maybe we need to talk about why Jasmine hasn't been included in certain situations. Which I feel like, I mean, I know is a diversion tactic because you're still not answering your question. But also, the other side of that is, Alex, if you're so concerned about why Jasmine hasn't been invited places, then why don't you just invite her, you know? Because they show many pictures of many events in which Alex is there, and he's there, pose it up with the whole cast. And, you know, if it was that deep for you and you needed to know why Jasmine's not being included, then why didn't you ask all this summer when you were going up to the Veuve Clicquot event and she's not there? Girl, why aren't you here? Or when y'all are planning on going places, why don't you be like, why is Jasmine not invited? I think you know why. Again, I just, like, Alex really rubs me the wrong way. You guys know how I feel about people, most, not all, people who are these, like, faux, hippie, not quite in the spiritual realm, but, like, dabbling in it. And I just find that oftentimes those people get very sanctimonious and self-righteous, but they speak softly and carry a big stick so you don't really notice. And you think that they're, like, operating on a higher vibration because they don't drink or they wake up and do yoga early in the morning or they talk about alignment or whatever. But they're just, like, using those things and bastardizing it for their own selfish interests. And I see right through Alex. And I don't think that he's, like, the worst guy in the world. I'm not going to call him Sandoval. But I do see through him. And it makes me frustrated for Summer because she's displaying down bad behavior, stand up behavior for this dude who's not worth it, you know? And actually, I'm going to correct myself because I actually don't think that she's like that desperate. I think she has been disrespected, but he's going to, because he's level-headed, low-toned voice, you know, wearing paisley, he's going to get away with being like, oh, here's another girl being unreasonable again. I have done nothing to do with this. I have no responsibility on this. And then she's going to look quote unquote crazy, even though I'm rocking with her. I see what's going on, but I'm going to rant about him later. Back to Jasmine. She says in a confessional that she has been reaching out to the girls, but their responses have been real dry in return. So Jordan and Jasmine agree, we're going to have a conversation, but we're going to have it not in front of everybody else. Later, Silas FaceTimes Jasmine to say, like, I don't know what he said. I really honestly wasn't paying attention. He does seem safe and happy and, you know, God bless. Okay. The crazy thing is that Jasmine tells us in a confessional that they went back into couples therapy after the show, which clearly y'all needed to sort of relearn each other. But then she says, I'm not perfect, which is wild, because if we just want to remember what this man was wild in the fuck out about last season, he things like she burnt the cheese on his breakfast sandwich and overcooked it, and so he told her he like threatened to take away her lifestyle. The time when he flipped out because I think she maybe had like a little wet spot on a pant that she ironed for him, that he got upset with her because they didn't need to be ironed. Those are the types of pants that didn't need ironing. So why does she do that? And yet she came out of those couples therapy sessions thinking that she was the one who needed to learn something. That's wild.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
That's wild. The next day, everybody gets on the boat and Preston does a speech about how today is his father's funeral and he's got really mixed feelings about it, but he wants to celebrate. So he shakes up a bottle, pops it, and they start shaking ass for a good 45 seconds until the Beats pill that somebody brought starts saying, battery low, battery low. And they're like, well, okay, that's enough of that. So Jasmine asks if she could talk to Jordan, and Jordan's like, she's checking out her caviar. She's got the whole setup with the creme fraiche from Vermont Creamery, the whole thing. And she says, like, oh, well, I was really trying to just live my soft girl life on this yacht in peace. I don't really want to sit here having a Dr. Phil session, but okay, fine. So they sit down, and Jasmine's like, you know, I feel like we just haven't been on the same page, and the distance between us has been really hurtful because I'm like wondering, like, have I done something? And, like, what's your perspective on the whole thing? So Jordan says to her, I think I pulled away because I was mistrusting what I was seeing. Like, you kind of made me feel like, I don't know who this person is. I'm freaked out, quite frankly. I didn't know if I could trust this person, really. Now Jasmine tells her, listen, I understand that last year was a lot because I was just settling into marriage. Maybe I got lost in the sauce, but I feel like you're kind of a straight shooter to where you could have told me that. And Jordan says, you know, I know, but I don't feel like you're a straight shooter back to me. So then Jordan says in a confessional that the issues between her and Jasmine have built up over the years because Jasmine wanted to put on this act of being the perfect wife rather than being the flawed individual that everybody is. And she says, when I met Jasmine, she had a half-shaved Skrillex cut. That should say it all, quite frankly. They do show the pictures, and I think she was probably more giving Cassie. I imagine she was probably trying to go more for Cassie than Skrillex, but I mean, listen, the comparison is there, right? The Venn diagram, it's overlapping, right? So then Jasmine says, you know, if I wasn't being authentic, it was because I was surviving. If I could go back to that, I would have been a little bit more straightforward. So Jordan says, you say that, but then there are little things that just don't add up to being real to me. So then Jordan brings up a conversation in which she was in a group chat with Jasmine and Silas. And it seems like what happened is that they were having beef with each other and trying to hash it out after the season. Because it looks like they're talking about, you know, how the show brings up a lot of pressure within people. And then Jordan and Silas make up and agree to get along, right? But then further in that message, Jordan is like, well, Jasmine, what can we do to get back on good footing? And that Jasmine didn't respond. So Jasmine says in a confessional, girl, I'm not going to go back and forth with you over one singular text. Look at my call log. My outgoing calls to Jasmine are extensive. So apples and oranges. And I had to think about really like what to think about all of this, because I do understand where Jordan's coming from. Like, it would be very odd if any of my girlfriends went from their normal behavior to the behavior that Jasmine was displaying last season. And then I had to share a house with them for 2 weeks and watch them play Stepford wife to some dude who's acting like a dickhead to everybody, you know, and including his wife. Right. And then the other, like in the best of times, she's doing this like performative screaming. Cause remember he told her, cause Amir was like, hey guys, I'm really uncomfortable with all the moaning that I have to hear night after night. If you could just keep it down. And so they tried to keep it down one night. And then in the middle of sex, I will never forget this. It'll be seared into my memory. In the middle of them fucking, he's inside of her. He's actively inside of her at this point. And he tells her, because we would get very unblurred, uncensored. I mean, they were censored, but barely censored viewings of Jasmine and Silas fucking damn near every episode last season. But during this time where they're trying to be quiet for the rest of the house, Silas, mid-pump, is like, you know what? I really can't do this. Like, I can't be with a girl that doesn't make noise. It's like a turnoff for me. As like, what? I will never fuck you again. I have erased the memory of your penis and you ever being inside of me from my vagina and my mouth, my hands, whatever else made contact. It's not happening. If you're still inside of me telling me that I am actively not turning you on because of something that he asked her not to make noise. And then while inside of her told her that she was not turning him on and that he couldn't do it. Bitch, divorce. Oh my God. So I say all this to say, like, I fully understand. Like, it's very clear that Jasmine jumped all out the window and was like freaking the fuck out and was on the brim last season and just acting very different, right? Like, that's very clear. So does Jasmine's defense of being like, well, I've been calling and calling her really make sense to me? Not quite, because it kind of seems like Jordan was looking for a resolution. You didn't want to do that, and you just wanted to jump over to being girlfriends, and Jordan was like, nah. On the other hand, I was seeing a lot of people saying that they felt like Jordan was being like really nasty and really rude and like not cool about this whole situation. And I do think, like, I could see that. I'm like 60-40, I think, but I'm leaning more towards Jordan's side. Because it does seem like there was a hashing out that attempted to happen. Jordan tried to solve that. It didn't happen. And now Jasmine's just jumping to, like, y'all are not including me. Which I do think is, like, ultimately not fair, because it does make, like, what appears to be just the beef between Jordan and Jasmine a beef between everybody, and then Jasmine gets iced out from the whole group and these activities and vacations and stuff, which sucks. Like, I do think that that ultimately is, like, a little too much. But I could also see how Jordan is, like, very protective of herself and very, like, whatever. And I think it is, like, maybe to a fault, but I could see where she's coming from. At the end of the conversation, they decide we're gonna have to figure out a new normal for us. Like, we're gonna have to reestablish things. We're not gonna go back to what we were, but we'll figure something out. Meanwhile, Alex is being very quiet, and he goes over to Summer and he's like, what's going on? And she's like, well, listen, like I said, I feel like when somebody's been inside of you, it just felt like you were being disrespectful to me, and there's a certain love that you have for each other. So Alex says in a confessional, Summer and I hung out a few times, but love? That's reach. I'm like, okay, read between the lines, Alex. Like, what she means is there's a certain level of respect that you should give to me. But, like, let's, like, really be real here. Like, if this was just our friends, maybe we could have a different opinion. But we do have to factor in the fact that they are on a show. And Alex knows that. So I just find this very annoying. I find this very annoying. Like, he knows what she means. She's not saying, I love you. She means, like, respect. Like, you should have love for me in that way. Not like, you should be in love with me. Clearly, it's not that. So Alex is like, well, I don't know if that's a fair expectation, but I think what happens between us, like, needs to stay between us. And Summer says, but everybody already knew. And Alex says, but they knew because you told them. And Summer says, no, I told Jordan, and Jordan told somebody else, blah, blah, blah. So Alex says in a confessional that he was in LA. He gets a call from Nick, and Nick says, oh, what are you and Summer up to? And Alex is like, how did you know I'm hanging out with Summer? And he says, oh, well, Summer sent a picture of you to Jordan and I saw it. So Alex is feeling some type of way, like, whoa, you're taking a picture of me? Ooh, like, maybe this is a sign we're not on the same page. Like, okay, if she had posted it on social media and had, like, you know, soft launch, hard launched you, and you were like, wait, girl, we're just fucking, like, okay, fair enough. I would be rocking with you on that. But I think we have to take into consideration you're part of a friend group, whether it's like a quote unquote friend group, meaning you guys are on a show together, or like both, you guys are on a show together and you're an actual friend group. Regardless of which it is, like, y'all should, to use her phrasing, have love for each other, aka respect for each other, aka if you guys are like fucking on the low, Alex, you have to understand that at some point this is going to come out. Like, this is not going to remain a secret forever, especially if you're flying out to the other side of the country and fucking this chick. It's not even like y'all, like, she lives in Jersey, you live in Brooklyn, and, like, y'all are, like, creeping around, you know, she's taking the New Jersey Transit, and then, you know, whatever, you know, she's getting to 14th Street, and then creeping over to, you know, on the Manhattan Bridge or whatever. Like, that's not the issue. Like, y'all are, seem to be kicking it, and then you're acting like, whoa, her sending a picture to your friend is so out of pocket and so crazy. And I just feel like at your big age, and I mean like your, like the general big age that we all are, over the age of 30, 28, you can't just like keep people a secret when they're in your friend group. Like, that's, we're past that. You have to have some claim. And to act like this is so crazy It's just rude. Yeah, maybe you guys should have had a conversation about, like, what page you were on. But, like I said, I feel like Alex speaks softly and carries a little fuckboy stick, and then it makes all the women seem so very unreasonable because he's able to, like, keep a level tone. And to be honest with you, I bet had he been respectful to her, she probably would have been more likely to, like, not out him on camera in the way that she did. I don't know, like, I have a feeling that a lot of you guys are gonna disagree with me on that, but that's fine. I'm okay with that. I can be a rebel for a moment. I don't know. I just feel like he should take into consideration that if this is such an off-putting situation, then don't fuck people that you know that well and work with, you know? I don't know. And, like, you know, last year he did this with Shanice, and while the acts that she did were not deeply steeped in sanity, I would say that that had nothing to do with him. He did not know her, and he was like, I don't know about her. Like, he started, like, giving her no chance whatsoever over a situation that happened, like, a couple years prior. And again, had not one thing to do with him. Like, is she trying to pull up on you? I didn't think she was, so I don't know. Anyway, so after that, Summer says at a confessional, Alex is making a big point of saying he doesn't want to be in a relationship, but never once have I asked him for anything of the sort. Like, he's saying, oh, I'm still in my fuckboy era, but that's why I'm going to the boy to fuck him. So great, we're on the same page. So then she tells Alex, you know, I think I put expectations on the situation. It's not your responsibility, so I'm sorry, which I think was very more than fair. So hopefully he doesn't make this a bigger deal, although I have a feeling he probably will. Anyway, with that being said, I'm very excited about season 2 of Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, and I hope you are too. So thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. Love you. Bye.